Welcome again to the Old Time Radio Hour. This is your host, Justine Ward, and this week we present two post-war Bob Hope radio shows. He had Doris Day as a regular. She sang and acted in the comedy sketches they presented on the show. First, we have a very funny Bob Hope show presenting a brand new comedy duo, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. They sound very fresh on this Bob Hope show, first broadcast March 29th, 1949 on NBC.
Well, I'm one.
Me too. So do I.
How about you?
Pomona, California, it's the new Bob Hope Swan Show, brought to you by Lever Brothers Company, with our great singing star, Doris Day. That sensational new comedy team, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. The more hits and a miss, the Les Brown Band, and yours truly, Hi Aberback.
We're Swan exclusively, how about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me?
Yes, did you win an Academy Award for your performance in The Pale Face with Jane Russell?
No, they told me the award is for acting, not recreation.
And now, Bob Hope's Swan's Eye View of the News. Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, the nation's press. I'm ready. The nation's pranksters and practical jokers coming to their own this Friday as the nation celebrates April Fool's Day. Yes, sir, I've got my April Fool's Day cards printed already. They got a picture of President Truman dancing with Drew Pearson. But I'll never forget last April Fool's Day. While I was walking down Vine Street, I saw a derby and kicked it. Was I embarrassed? There was a restaurant underneath. And I played a wonderful joke on Paramount last year. I stormed into the office, pounded on the desk, and demanded that they tear up my contract. You know that Scotch tape is a wonderful thing? And last April 1st, somebody sent Phil Harris a bottle of Taboo with a bourbon label on it, and he drank it. He's now with Phil Spitalny, billed as Evelyn and her fragrant tonsils. And a couple of days ago, I got a note that said, "Dear sweetheart, meet me tonight on top of Mount Baldy," signed Jane Russell. I knew it was a trick, and only an idiot would have fallen for it, an eagle told me when I got up there.
Hollywood, California.
Laurence Olivier and Jane Wyman were crowned king and queen of the movies this week as Hollywood presented its annual Academy Awards. Yes, sir, and Jane Wyman won it for a role in Johnny Belinda. And it's amazing because in that entire picture, she didn't say one word. Yesterday over at Paramount, they were measuring my mouth to see how many stitches it would take. The English won so many of the Academy Awards. Next year, instead of Oscars, they're going to give out Chaunceys. Walter Houston won his award without any teeth, putting his career ahead 10 years and Pepsodent back 20. Still loyal. I went to the presentation and made $15. I'm getting smart. As long as I'm not winning any Oscars, I may as well park cars. I don't know how anyone could make such a fuss about a gold Oscar, though. After all, you can't take it with you. Anyway, that's what the detective at the door told me. I told the Academy the least I should get was honorable mention, and they told me the first time I did anything honorable, they'd mention it.
The nation at large.
Nature came out of winter hibernation as the calendar officially announced that March 21st was the first day of spring. Spring, that's when the birds and the bees follow Errol Flynn around taking notes. And you can tell it's spring because the birds are all flying back from the south. Just yesterday, two robins perched on a tree near my window, and I overheard one of them saying, "Okay, Emma, you can take off those sunglasses. We're back in California." But spring really gives me a wonderful feeling. This morning when I opened the door to leave my house, I felt like I was walking on air. I was. Somebody had stolen my front steps. And spring always makes me think of my first girlfriend, Helen. She was 5 and I was 6, and we ran away to elope, but we had to come home that night. We ran out of licorice. Spring really affects my brother, too. Just yesterday, he borrowed my car and put the top down. Would have been all right if it had been a convertible.
Talking about spring, Bob, you know, lots of people are starting spring cleaning now.
Yeah, spring cleaning. Oh, I got mine weeks ago. I was at Santa Anita.
No, Bob, I was talking about household spring cleaning.
Well, you don't have to remind me, Hi. I've been running around all week with a towel on my head, a feather duster in one hand, and a cake of swan in the other. But don't let me interfere, Hi. Go ahead. Put something in the sink, boy.
Well, I will, Bob. I suggest that everybody put swan in the sink. Swan, because it's a better white floating soap for dishes. Swan, because it's firmer, it's thriftier, it lasts longer. And what's more, white floating Swan gives quicker suds, too. Longer-lasting suds. Suds that rinse away so completely, dishes need no wiping. Swan, mild as the finest Castile, protects your hands, leaves your hands soft and smooth.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ladies, try Swan for every soap and water job in the house. And you'll agree that for dishes and hands, for bath and for baby, Swan is the best soap afloat.
Good old Swan.
And now our singing gal with Les Brown and the Four Hits and a Miss. Here she is, Miss Doris Day.
I'm beginning to miss you when you're away. Every moment that we
awfully expensive renting this boat. How much was it?
Well, you see, the price depends on the size of the boat, Doris. They have one boat here called the Queen Mary that costs $5 an hour. There's another boat called the Queen Elizabeth that costs $3 an hour.
What's the name of this boat?
The SS Orange Crate costs 25 cents an hour.
Oh, Robert. Robert, at 25 cents an hour, we should take advantage of every second.
Uh-huh.
Well, why don't you move closer to me like this?
Hmm?
Hey. Oh, gee, your arm is so smooth and slender. And it tapers down. Why, it tapers down to such a lovely flat hand.
Dory.
What?
You're holding one of the oars.
Oh, Robert, haven't you ever been out with a girl in a boat before?
Yeah, her name was Agnes, but she got fresh and I made her walk home.
Well, how could she walk home from a boat ride?
Web feet. Look, Dory, let's open our picnic lunch. I'm hungry.
Oh, Robert, you're always
I'm hungry.
How can you think of food when we're alone like this? Don't you realize that I'm a girl and you're a boy?
Uh-huh.
Well, don't you know what that means?
Sure, we were born in different hospitals.
Robert.
Huh?
Robert, the moon just went behind a cloud, and it's nice and dark, and... Well, I don't care if you like it or not, I'm going to kiss you. Oh, Robert, that was wonderful.
Yeah? If you think that was good, wait till I take this chicken leg out of my mouth.
Mental tune, cruising down the river on a Sunday afternoon.
Where are we going now, Robert?
Oh, I'm rolling over to the amusement park across the river.
Gee, you know, I'll bet... I'll bet this same boat has carried so many couples in love. Hey, look at all the initials that are carved in the sides.
Yeah, look at those right there. J.B. loves B.R. J.B., that must mean Jack Benny.
Well, who's B.R.?
Betsy Ross. Who do you think knitted his first toupee? Whenever a band plays America's, hair salutes and marches back into the box. Well, let's get over to the amusement park.
Oh, gosh, we've had fun here in the amusement park, Bob. Gee, we sat together in the tunnel of love. Weren't you excited?
Yeah, I got red blotches all over me.
Oh, Robert, do you think it's love?
No, I got an acid condition. Say, but when we came to that really dark spot in the tunnel, it was awfully nice of you to let me kiss you, Doris.
Robert.
What?
You didn't kiss me.
I didn't? Gee, there was only one other person on our seat.
You mean?
Yeah, I'm now engaged to a sailor from the battleship Arkansas.
Oh, come on, Robert. Let's go on some more rides, huh?
Well, I got to save $2 to pay for the rowboat, but I'll count my money. Let me see. There's $1, $2.
Three, four, five. You got quite a roll there, haven't you, boy?
Now, wait a minute. Who are you?
Well, I'm sort of a one-man patrol to protect people like you from strolling criminals. You see, they'll come up to you and they'll talk to you friendly, just like I am, but all the time that you think they're friendly, they're reaching in your pocket, you know, they're taking your wallet. In fact, they are such nefarious characters that, say, you got yours pinned to your underwear, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
I know what it is to be poor. Yeah, I've been poor all my life. But I always say, this may be my lucky day.
Your lucky day?
Uh-huh, yeah. Now, I have a simple little game of skill here that I'd like to interest you in. All that you've got to do is guess which shell the pea is under. So you bet $1, and if you guess right, I give you $100.
Gee, it looks so easy.
Oh, it is, it is. Well, I lost $10,000 every day this week.
Well, if you lose that much, how can you stay in business?
I'm out of the high rent district. And then, I always say this may be my lucky day.
Gee, Doris, this looks so easy. I think I'll risk $1.
Oh, there's no risk involved here. Now, just you keep your eye on the little pea as I move the shells around.
There, it's under the first one.
Uh-huh, well, we'll lift up the shell and we'll see. Well, now, what do you know? P must have switched networks. You got any more money, boy?
Well, all I've got left is $2, and I have to have that to pay for the boat so Doris and I can get home.
Well, now, don't you worry about getting the little lady home, boy. After all, you may not lose.
Okay, shoot the $2.
Like I said before, this is one of the most beautiful moonlight nights I've ever seen. It's so wonderful to be here in the boat with you, all curled up like this with my head on your shoulder. Isn't it just wonderful?
Yep, I thought this might be my lucky day.
Bob, I love that cruising down the river. It was so appropriate for spring.
Oh, are you fond of spring high? Said he, knowing full well that he was sticking his head in the kitchen drain.
Well, seriously, Bob, I'm a poet, and whenever spring comes around, I write a sonnet. And I've written one today, and I'd like to read it.
Well, shoot the prose to me, Mose.
A lady whose name was Dubon once planted an acre of swan. When it bloomed in the spring, she'd laugh and she'd sing, cause her dishwashing problems were gone.
Hi, did you ever think of making that hole in your head deeper and using it for a soap dish?
Well, you can't blame me for being poetic about swan, Bob, and thousands of housewives agree with me because it's such a time saver in the kitchen. And since it's made by a modern patented process no other soap can use, it lasts longer. And it's thriftier because it stays firm and solid. And that means you can use it down to the last smooth sliver. And there's no soap that's milder than swan. It's as mild as the purest Castile. So, of course, it's kinder to your hands. It leaves your hand so soft and smooth.
You said it, High. The skin on my feet is so soft and tender, my big toe kisses my little toe goodnight.
Yes, ladies, you like swan in the kitchen. Your husband and your children and the whole family will love swan in the bath. But wherever you use it in the house, you'll agree that mild, smooth swan is the best soap afloat.
Gentlemen, tonight we're very happy to welcome back two young men whose sensational rise in show business will be climaxed when they begin their new program over NBC next Sunday night. I refer, of course, to those boys in Hal Wallace's new picture, My Friend Irma. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, and here's the singing half of the team, Dean Martin, singing, Johnny, Get Your Girl.
Get your girl all around your shoulder, beep, boop, beep, 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 beep.
Hold it a minute. What are you doing? Bob just introduced me. I'm supposed to be singing.
I'm sorry. I can't help it, Dean. It's these headaches of mine. They're getting worse. Today I went to see the doctor about my head.
Well, what about it?
It may have to come off. I'm too young to die. I can't go yet. I haven't had any thrills. I haven't lived. I haven't loved. I haven't seen President Truman in a bathing suit.
Neither has Beth. Come on, get lost.
Johnny, get your girl. Tap her on the shoulder. Tap her on the shoulder. Say you'd like to hold her. Johnny, get your girl. Walk her in the moonlight. If you got no moonlight, talk about it tonight. Don't you wait for introductions. Don't be so formal. Just step right up and do the thing that's normal. Johnny, get your girl. Tap her on the shoulder. Get a little bolder. Give romance a whirl. Don't let another Johnny get your girl. Don't wait for instructions. Don't be so formal. Just step right up and do the thing that's normal.
John, get that girl.
Tap her on the shoulder. Get a little bolder. Give romance a whirl. Don't you let another Johnny get your girl.
That was That was really wonderful, Dean. You know, you're in fine voice tonight.
Well, that's because I enjoy singing on your program, Bob.
There's you really
always,
do?
Sure, there's always such a friendly feeling around here.
Well, we try to make everybody feel at home.
Well, you certainly do succeed. I really look forward to these little get-togethers.
Do
if
you?
If you girls will excuse me, I'll go put the coffee on.
Now, take it easy, kid, or I'll have to put you back in your jar of alcohol. Now, tell me, fellas. Tell me, fellas, aren't you starting your own radio program soon?
Yes, Bob, and we'd like you to be our first guest.
Well, I'll be there.
Well, you add so much to our show. You're so popular and so self-confident.
Yeah, and handsome, too. Tell me something. Is that a natural wave?
Yeah, you see, my hair is sort
of... I'm talking about your nose. I made it funny.
So did your parents.
Say it. Don't mind him, Bob. You know, we'd love to have you on our show, and we'd like to have some advice about radio.
Advice about radio? What do you mean?
Well, Jerry and I have been working in nightclubs for the last few years, and we don't know what people like on the radio.
Well, on NBC, they got Fred Allen, Fibber McGee, and my show.
Well, how about Jack Benny and Amos and Andy?
Oh, they broadcast in Fort Knox. Of course, some of the most popular programs on the air are the quiz shows. They go something like this. Ah, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to play America's favorite quiz game. This is the program that gives all that money away called Take It or Jolson Will. As you know, this program is brought to you by the makers of Blue Jay Corn Plaster, the only plaster that's good for birds who have corns. Keep the motor running. Friends, would you like a brand new home? Would you like a modern new refrigerator? Would you like a streamlined 1949 Hudson? Would you like $1,000 in cash? Well, quit hanging around radio studios. Go out and get a job. And still now, we're ready for our first team of contestants. Your name, sir?
Dean Martin.
And your name?
Could I try another category?
What do you do for a living, Mr. Martin?
Well, I'm a singer.
And what does the little fella here do?
I'm a Japanese gardener.
You guys are on the wrong show. You should be on Bride and Goon. Well, let's get on with the quiz. Well, on the quiz, anyway, we'll try a spelling question.
Dean, spelling. Hey, we'll be rich. I was a spelling champ at school. I can spell anything.
All right, Mr. Lewis, for your first question, spell cat.
Poison or angora?
Jerry, you can't spell a simple word like cat. What's the matter with you?
Well, you see, I haven't been too well.
Well, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, a grown man not being able to spell cat.
So what? I was speaking to my cat yesterday, and he couldn't spell man.
Look, lum and abnormal, our time's about up. But before we go off the air, we have a game we play with the audience. Think of it. Now, gentlemen, how would you two like to take the microphones out in the studio and pick some people for me to quiz?
Okay,
here we go.
Here we go. Doctor, I've got a lady in the balcony.
Well, what happened?
It was Kate Smith.
Another popular type of program, boys, is the friendly old advisor who helps people with their problems like this.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we bring you a visit with Dr. Robert Hope, the friendly advisor. Now, before we bring you our first case, I'd like to remind you that this program is brought to you by Dr. Scholl's Corn Pad, the only pad that's good for doctors with corn. Keep your motor running. And now, here is your friendly advisor.
Thank you, George Frelinghuysen. And now, our first... and now, our first case.
Dr. Hope, I need some advice about my 6-year-old son, Jerome. He never does his homework, and he's always out with the kids playing hopscotch.
Well, lots of children play hopscotch.
With real scotch?
Well, let's see. Let's see what we can do. You, little man, are you Jerome?
Yes, I am. and I didn't want to come here tonight. And if you don't let me go, I'll hold my breath till I blow up like a balloon, then I'll float over your house and spit down a chimney.
Is this a boy or a new long-playing record? Where did you find a kid like this?
Just knock on any door in the snake pit.
Look, Jerome, do you know why your father brought you here?
Yes, because I've been a bad little girl.
Now, wait a minute. You're not a girl. You're a boy.
I am?
Yes.
Well, live and learn.
Well, I told you, Dr. Hope, he's terrible. Jerome, tell the doctor what you do around the house.
Yeah, what do you do around the house?
I collect meatballs. I got millions of meatballs, all stashed away. Meatballs to the right of me, meatballs to the left of me. The living room is full of meatballs.
No, no wonder your father's angry. Imagine a living room full of meatballs. Why don't you put them in the closet?
Where do you think I keep the spaghetti?
I give up. Take this boy out of here. And of course, fellas, there's that old standby, the daytime serial.
And now for today's chapter of Pamela Poopnik, Girl Chicken Plucker. The story of one woman's fight against happiness. Now, if you remember, yesterday Pamela fell and broke her leg. Her sister ran away from home. Her brother was rushed to the hospital for a brain operation. Her mother was run over by a truck. And her father threw himself into the river. And that was a good day. And now as we pick up our story, we find Cransdale Strongheart and Bosworth Dangerfield rivals for the hand of Pamela Poopnik, waiting for Pamela's arrival. Cransdale and Bosworth are talking.
Hello, Bosworth.
Hello, Cransdale.
I... You mean... Quanta.
Lagusta.
Just wanted to see if you were paying attention. Bosworth, what are you doing here? I'm asking Pamela for her hand in marriage.
Oh, but I'm in love with Pamela.
Let's not quarrel. Here comes Pamela. She'll decide which of us she loves.
Well, look at her. She's a vision of loveliness tonight.
Oh, there you are, you naughty boy.
This kid sounds like the fourth Andrews sister. The one they keep in the cellar.
Well, isn't she gorgeous?
Yes, she's exquisite. Look at that lovely figure, that adorable face, that stunning hairdo.
I'm lovely. I'm engaged. I use Absorbine Junior.
You know, Dean, you can make a fortune with this kid.
On the radio?
No, have him frozen and sell him as Bird's Eye Idiot.
Cransdale.
Pamela, the time has come.
Yes, you must choose. Which of us will you marry?
Well, let me see.
You're both so nice, I can't make up my mind. But I guess I have to choose. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Well, who will it be?
Moe.
Darling, don't toy with us at a time like this. Who do you really love?
Please, don't make it any harder for me. Bosworth, Cransdale, there's something I must do that is far more important than getting married. I must go on with my life's work.
What is this important life's work?
I collect meatballs. I got millions of meatballs.
Thank you, Martin Lewis. We'll listen to you Sunday night. In fact, I'll be with you. And I want to send Jack Kirkwood our best. We hope he's better next week, and he's back. And thank you, you people of Pomona, for this swell evening, and also our congratulations. You've got an optimist club here that puts plenty of spark in your civic spirit. Keep it up. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, is my hair fairest of them all?
It is when you use Rave cream shampoo. Rave leaves your hair so clean, so soft, and yet so very easy to manage. Easy to manage because the pure lanolin in Rave is specially blended with other important ingredients to make hair behave, even on shampoo day. Your hair will be well-groomed if you use Rave. R-A-Y-V-E. Rave Cream Shampoo.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour on iTunes and throughout the World Wide Web. I'm Justine Ward, your host for another hour of vintage radio comedy with Bob Hope. The next show is the last show sponsored by Lever Brothers, and it features Doris Day singing with Les Brown and his band of renown and acting with Bob Hope. Enjoy the Bob Hope Show, first broadcast June 13th, 1950 on NBC.
The miracle watch day discovery brings you the Bob Hope Show. Yes, from Hollywood, California, it's the Bob Hope Show with Doris Day, Jack Kirkwood, Irene Ryan, Joe Sully, High Applebach, Les Brown, and his band of renown. And here he is going off for the summer because in warm weather, certain things don't keep Bob Hope.
Thank you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob going off the air with September Hope, saying after the broadcast tonight, I'm going to take a 13-week nap. Preparing this show every week may sound like a snap, but I'm so tired I can't put my longies on the regular way anymore. I have to crawl in through the trap. Yes, sir, this is my last show of the season for Lever Brothers. It was quite a year. Between the soap and the Treasury Department, I finished clean. I thought of going to Scotland on my vacation, but I understand that after Crosby's visit, Americans aren't very popular there. They stole so many hotel towels, when you wash your hands over there now, you have to wait for someone to come in wearing a kilt. Because of the way the customs men treated me the last time. They said they wanted to inspect my trunks, and I stood around with my pants off for 2 hours. Well, you get the idea. But it's been an exciting season this year. I just flew in from Washington. They've got a beautiful 18-hole golf course in Washington, but I had a little trouble. I hit my ball in a hole marked 52. It was Dewey's. He was tunneling his way in from Albany. And while I was in Washington, I visited Congress. You all know what Congress is. That's a Hoover vacuum cleaner with a Truman budget. But I want to tell you one thing. President Truman is really trying to cut expenses. In fact, he just let all the maids go at the White House. Now when it's time to dust, he just sends Margaret from room to room saying, "Ragma." Trip back on the plane, and we had a pretty stewardess. I said, "Don't forget my safety belt," and she didn't. Every time she didn't feel safe, she belted me. It was a smooth trip back, but we landed in Los Angeles with half the floor ripped out of the plane. I went to the washroom and forgot to unfasten my seat belt. I arrived in California just in time to greet the tourists. We always have a warm welcome for tourists out here. We get so tired of running over the same old familiar faces. You know, California is really wonderful. It's the only state where the people in the unemployment line change to tuxedos after 4 o'clock. I don't know what that means myself. It sounds funny, but the people here must be getting prosperous. They're buying more and more television sets. Lately, there's so many aerials on the rooftops, the smog is coming in flight. I did two television shows, and Variety gave me quite a write-up. It said, "Hope goes into TV. Movies are better than ever." But wait to see the new cameras in television. They're going to be terrific for commercials. They've now got a camera with a long neck that looks down an announcer's throat and shows you the spot that Pepsi Cola hits. No!
dry, rinse, close. New No Rinse Surf gets your wash so clean, you need never rinse again.
The new surf, no more rinsing, no more rinsing, no more rinsing.
You don't have to rinse, because amazing No Rinse Surf has a miracle ingredient that floats dirt away. Surf leaves no soap film or scum clinging to clothes.
Your clothes ring clean. Cleaner than if you wash with soap and rinse three times.
Actually helps clothes wear longer. And your wash dries so sweet and soft.
Cut your wash time and work in half with No Rinse Surf. S-U-R-F. Surf. The only wash aid product approved by United States Testing Company for no rinsing.
Why rinse?
Yes, why rinse? When No Rinse Surf guarantees you a really clean wash. The whitest, brightest wash on earth with no rinsing.
The new surf, no more rinsing, 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 no more rinsing.
Get new No Rinse Surf and you'll never rinse another heavy load of clothes again.
The 40 consecutive radio shows, and Bob has worked awfully hard. In fact, Doris Day has insisted that he have a checkup. So we now find the two of them on the way to the doctor's office, but not the kind of a doctor you think.
Oh, that.
Understand why you won't tell me who this doctor is that you're taking me to.
Now, don't worry. He's very capable, and you need him. Look at it this way. If a person has weak feet, they go to a chiropractor. If there's something wrong with their eyes, they go to an oculist. And if they have a weak spine, they go to an osteopath.
All right, but where are you taking me?
To a psychiatrist.
I don't get it. What's the idea?
Well, you're not normal, Bob.
Don't pause there. Go ahead.
Well, it's not natural for anybody to want to be traveling all the time like you do.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I just like to be on the go. It's in my blood. I was born on the Greyhound bus.
Oh, Bob.
It's true, Doris. All the kids in my family were born on a bus. In fact, my mother used to name us after the scenery she saw through the window. I never told anybody before, but my full name is Robert Vermishave Hope.
Oh, now that's silly.
I know, but I was lucky. I got a brother named Chew Mail Pouch Tobacco. And another one called Welcome to Azusa, 10-minute stop. So you see, I can't help traveling, Dodo.
I know, Bob, and you're going to see this doctor. His office building is not very much farther. It's just around this corner up here. A few doors up the street. Hello, Doris. Hello, Mr. Hope.
Well, Miss Ryan. Well, Miss Ryan, you'll never believe this in a million years, but I'm going over to see a psychiatrist.
Well, I think you're very wise to go before they send a couple of men after you.
No, no, Miss Ryan, Doris has the idea there's something wrong with me mentally because I like to travel so much.
Oh, I understand that. I have the same complex. It's called the split desire. One part of me wants to go east, and one part of me wants to go west.
You know, lately your figure looks like you made it. What I mean is...
Miss Ryan, don't you agree that a person should try to stay in one place once in a while?
Oh, no, Doris. I think traveling is just wonderful. If there's anything I love, it's to see people going someplace.
You do?
Yes. I don't care where they're going, but I love to see people going away. I just feel so happy for them.
Would you mind being happy in another direction? The dampness is taking a crease out of my pants.
You know, I love to see anyone going on a journey so much that on days when there aren't any boats leaving the harbor, I go down to the May Company.
The May Company?
Yes. When the people get on the escalator, I stand there waving and singing the Loa.
Well, I didn't know you were so crazy about traveling, Miss Ryan.
Oh, indeed. I think about it so much, I even walk in my sleep.
You do?
Yes. The other night I dreamed I was sailing through the sky on a magic carpet while a handsome sheik tried to kiss me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But when I woke up, I was under the bed on my heating pad fighting off my cocker spaniel.
Now, you come on, Bob. You can't get out of seeing that psychiatrist. I made the appointment, and I'm going to stay with you until I'm sure that you're in the office.
I've been in his waiting room for 5 minutes. I wonder what he...
Well, hello there.
Oh, hello. Gee, are you the nurse?
That's right. I just graduated last week. What can I do for you?
Beat me with your diploma.
Oh, I see you have an appointment here on the book. Could you give me a brief history of your case?
Well, I'm very tense and my hands tremble and I've got a violent nervous twitch that I can't control.
How long have you had it?
Just started.
Well, I guess that's enough data for my record. And now, if you'll be so kind... Oh, here comes the doctor now.
Doctor? Oh! Doctor, wait a minute. Wait, you got a patient. Look, I'm here.
Okay, you go that way, and I'll go this way, and if we catch her, we'll go halvesies.
Don't tell me you're the psychiatrist.
That's right, boy. Come into my office, and we'll get started. Let's see. Here's my notebook. Now, I want you to lie right down here. Just put your feet like that, and that's right. There. Are you comfortable?
No. It's pretty dark. Why do I have to lie here?
Well, there ain't room on top of the couch for both of us.
Now, wait a second. I don't like the looks of this office, and this isn't even a real couch.
Oh, come on now. Lie back and relax while I probe into your subconscious. Hey, nurse, hand me that hammer. Yeah, thanks. I certainly found out something there.
What?
If your head was a cantaloupe, it would be just ready for picking. Well, the motivations may stem from a guilt complex. Have you ever done anything in your past that you were ashamed of?
Well, yes, I did.
Tell me about it.
Well, you'll have to send the nurse out of the room.
You can leave, Miss Brady. Now, what was it you did that was so wrong?
Well, I'll never live it down. It happened in a hotel in Denver. I could never go back there again.
Why not?
Well, one morning in the bathroom, I dried myself in a towel marked hers.
You didn't.
I did.
You're not fit to breathe the same air as Mary Worth.
Traveling is that I just had a birthday, and, well, I don't know how much longer I'll have the necessary vitality.
Oh, nonsense, boy. You're only as old as your mind dictates. I have a treatment for that.
You do?
Yes, just repeat after me. Every day I'm getting younger and younger.
Every day I'm getting younger and younger.
Yeah, once more, please.
Every day I'm getting younger and younger. Every day I'm getting younger and younger.
Hey, every day. How do you feel now?
Oh, fine, Mommy.
What?
Will you throw me over your shoulder and burp me?
Oh, my gosh, I overdid it. He thinks he's a baby. This is awful. Nurse!
What is it, doctor?
Something terrible in him, nurse. This patient thinks he's a baby.
Don't worry, I'll take care of him.
Beat me with your diploma. suds that get your wash so clean you don't need to rinse?
I tried it, and the result is amazing. My wash was on the line in half the time.
That's what Mrs. Margaret Wright of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania wrote. Fan mail is pouring in from all over the country, praising new no-rinse surf. From Chicago, Mrs. Emma Ulrich Wright.
White thing came up sparkling.
From Mrs. M.R. Schwartz in Los Angeles.
Soft and clean smelling. That's how my wash came out.
And from Mrs. Evelyn Bush in Bridgeton, New Jersey.
No rinse surf is truly a lifesaver.
You'll never rinse another heavy load of clothes again once you try no rinse surf. S-U-R-F. Surf.
Here's a repeat on a Capitol recording by Maggie Whiting and the Velvet Foghorn. And to augment it properly, we have the Warner Brothers Triple Threat and it's Doris Day.
This is the story of a blind date.
The lady was 30 minutes late.
Now listen to the chatter.
As we go for a drink, first what we say politely,
then exactly what we think. Oh, I'm so sorry I'm late.
Look at this clown. What a sight.
Oh, I don't mind a short wait.
Looks like I'm stuck for the night.
What'll we eat?
A steak, of course.
Let's have a seat.
Eat like a horse.
Stuck again on a blind date. Here comes the band. Shall we dance?
Move your legs like two rocks.
Music gets me in a trance.
Keep off my speech, you big ox.
What do you drink?
Champagne, my dear.
What do you think?
A 10-cent beer.
Stuck again on a blind date.
Then we went for a moonlit ride.
But only to be polite.
By accident, you found my lips.
You kept hugging and kissing.
And kissing and hugging and holding me tight. You better stop, it's so late.
I'll call him loud and dumb.
Baby, your kisses are great.
Boy, am I glad we're near home.
Say you were.
Jack. You wouldn't tell.
I ain't
a fan. Stuck again on a blind date.
Then quickly we went to the door.
But only to be polite.
And once again you found my lips.
You kept hugging and kissing.
And kissing and hugging the rest of the night. Thank you again. Here's the door.
Only a quarter past four.
Oh, there goes my sleep.
I'll see you when.
Sleep.
Call me again.
Yeah, next New Year's Eve.
Good night.
What a character.
Good night.
What a character.
You forgot your bag.
Thanks.
See you tomorrow night at 8?
It's a date. I won't be late.
On one thing we'll both agree. No more blind dates for you and me.
Now, look, Doctor, I've been here quite some time now, and you still haven't told me what my trouble is.
Now, look here, boy. And I called you boy because I need a psychiatrist myself. I might get the key to your whole personality if you tell me something about your radio show.
What do you mean?
Now, what do you like to do? What sort of characters have you played this year?
Well, a few months ago, we did a show, and I was a politician who started out as a poor boy. I'll never forget that tender scene where I went to tell my mother I was leaving home. I opened the door to her room, and there she was, wearing her shawl. With a loving expression on her little face, she looked up at me and said sweetly,
"Shut the door, stupid."
I I want to talk to you, Ma. Are you busy?
No, it's just so lonely around here. I was doing some knitting. I guess I'm getting to be an old lady.
Well, what are you knitting?
An old man.
I came to tell you I'm leaving home. I'm going to the city. I made up my mind to be a politician.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, your father was a leader, too. He was president of the Elks.
Really?
Yes, your father was a big elk. In fact, the first time he... His antlers punctured 3 holes in my head.
Well, you've been both a mother and a Buick to me. You'll be proud of me, Ma. I'm going to be governor of this state.
Solid. Son.
Cool, Ma.
It's a cruel life you're going out into. And, son, there's a little poem with a message that I want you to carry with you always.
What is it, Ma?
As you walk along life's highway, you'll meet men with crooked schemes. These men will offer you money, money beyond your dreams. And should they offer you one of these deals, don't even stop to think. Just grab the money, son. Your old mother wants a mink.
That was very interesting psychologically. You know, I'm beginning to understand your character a little better now. Tell me, what else have you done?
What else?
Yes.
Well, 1 week we did the Look Magazine Award show. Say, by the way, did you see that picture of Jane Russell and me in the current issue of Look?
No. You didn't see it?
No. Well, back to work. Anyway, this week I played the part of a general in the Air Force. Boy, was I tough. I was sent to take over a bomber group in England.
You were?
Yeah, there was something wrong with the group. Whenever they went on a bombing mission, instead of bombing Germany, they'd head their planes toward America and bomb the factories that were making stands. I straightened them out. You should have heard me when I stormed into the headquarters to take over command. Major, are you in charge here?
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Yeah. You realize you're talking to a general? Stand at attention. Major, pull in that stomach. Throw back your shoulders. Throw in your chin. Throw out your chest. Not all at once, Major.
No, sir. I'm sorry, sir. It won't happen again, sir.
It's too late to be sorry. You're a major, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm breaking you, Major. Starting tomorrow, you're a colonel.
You've got it all wrong.
I can't help it. My writers were in the Navy. Well, look. I'm here to get this group back in the stick, Major. Assemble the men in the briefing room tomorrow morning at 0800.
Yes, sir. And shot! Men, General Savage.
Sent out here to spark up this outfit. I didn't ask to be put in a desk job. The only reason I'm here is because I was wounded in the Battle of the Bulge.
The Battle of the Bulge, sir?
Yes, I got caught between two fat whacks in an elevator at the Pentagon building. Any questions? All right. Here are your assignments for tomorrow's mission. Smith, Reagan, and Weiss, you head for Berlin.
Roger, Wilco.
He's going with me. Green, you'll head for Stuttgart. Gilbert and Kelly, you'll go to Munich. Major Stovall, you'll fly with me.
Where are we going?
Las Vegas. You can't get hurt there.
Well, playing all those parts, boy, I can see that you're certainly not frustrated.
Of course not, Doc. One night I played a part I'll never forget, that of a doctor who gives up his practice to go into research and help mankind.
Oh, I wish I'd heard that.
Oh, it was great. Oh. My name is Dr. Robert Hope, M.D. I've been a doctor for 20 years, although when I first started out, I didn't want to be a doctor. I wanted to be a nurse. But then I found out that in order to be a nurse, you have to be a girl, so I decided to forget it. Too much trouble. Well, I became a doctor. I wanted to do something important in medicine. I soon decided that the thing that would most help humanity would be a cure for the common cold. I went to work immediately. I stocked my laboratory with equipment and experimental animals. Then one day I sent for my assistant.
Yes, Dr. Hope?
Nurse, I'm trying another experiment tonight.
Oh, you've tried so many.
I know. You see that guinea pig over there? Yes. He had a cold when I first got him. Every day for 6 months, I've injected him with bromoquinine and whiskey.
Well, what happened?
I cured his cold, but now he's the only guinea pig that's a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Now we're ready, nurse. I'm going to inject this solution into this poor little rabbit who has a cold.
Oh, geez, almost dead.
Ready, nurse. Sponge. Iodine.
Iodine.
Suture. Clamp.
Clamp.
Hydrovascular cardiographic electroturbo injector impulse.
Clamp.
Coward. Suture. Sponge.
Sponge.
Needle. Needle.
I'm sorry, doctor, we don't have a needle.
No needle?
No.
Sinatra.
Sinatra.
There, it's done. Oh, I'm afraid it's a failure. I've tried everything I know.
Dr. Hope, look.
What?
The rabbit's opening its eyes.
No.
You've done it.
No.
You've done it. You've found a cure for the common cold.
Dr. Robert Hope, we are about to honor you for your heroic achievement in producing a remedy for the common cold. I herewith present you with the Medical Association Award for your efforts in releasing humanity from hours of suffering because of cold. Dr. Hope. Have you anything to say?
Oh, yes.
All thanks for the memories to all our loyal friends on whom our show depends. You've been just great, we'd like to state, as now the season ends. We thank you so much.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is it, the end of the season. You know, I can always tell when we come to the end of the season. My blood pressure gets about 6 points higher than my Hooper rating. This is not only the end of the season, but the end of a long association with the wonderful company Lieber Brothers. You know, when you buy something with the name Lieber Brothers on it, you can be sure you're getting the best. I know, because that name in my contract has given me some of the best years in radio. Next fall, we switch to the cigarette that satisfies Chesterfield. And we'll do our best to satisfy Chesterfield and you. Thanks again to Lieber Brothers and to another great company, the gang behind our show. The loyal workers who get none of the credit, who go week after week taking all of the blame and a little bit of the money. Our writing staff, Al Schwartz, Mara Fisher, Larry Gelpart, Larry Marks, Mort Lockman and Cy Rose, Norman Sullivan, Fred Williams, and our mainstay, Glenn Wheat. Our producer, Al Capstaff, Brother Jack Hope, Nene Simpson, NBC's Kendall Pearson, John Pollock, Parker Cornell, and a heartfelt thanks to Doris Day, Les Brown, and his wonderful band, Jeff Clarkson, for all those wonderful benefits. Hi, everybody, Irene Ryan, Jane Morgan, my favorite comedian, Jack Kirkwood. Believe me, they're the kind of people who make a fellow wake up humming there's no business like show business. Have a wonderful summer, folks. Be like the song. Enjoy yourself. Get out and go where the wild goose goes. Get back in time to join us in the fall. Will you? So long, everybody. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. I hope you will join us again next week when we feature another great comedian from the golden age of radio. I am planning to present some of the Stan Freberg shows next week. I know you will enjoy listening if you tune in and join us. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.